it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Featured artist Friday, Cord. Anything you want to hear from them, send your request. Nolan McGraw, applause for text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, and Quick Draw. Ravens 7.5-point dogs at home Sunday against the Rams. Here to talk about that. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's from the Baltimore Banners, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning, first of all. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing good. All right. And all the guys that returned to practice yesterday, limited, unlimited, whatever the case may be, we'll throw Emory Jones into this mix as well, most likely to play Sunday against L.A.?
I don't think any of them are going to play, frankly. I guess I would probably put Marlon as closest based on how he was kind of moving around, but even then, in the viewing period, open to reporters, wasn't doing all the DB drills. He was last in line in some of the DB drills. So you put that together with the fact that Emory Jones, you know, still needs some time to ramp up, I think, just before he can be a meaningful contributor to this team on game day. And, you know, the fact that Pat Ricard, the Ravens coaches, at least John Harbaugh, was targeting the Chicago game for his return. It seems unlikely that they would bring him back 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So I think Marlon probably looked the best, or you know, has the shortest path back to the playing field. I just don't think any of those guys are going to play.
Now, Jonas, listening, and you were standing there yesterday, Zach Orr. I mean, to me, that was kind of a joke. I mean, like I listened to it, you know, and I'm listening to him. I say, seriously, you know, that's my leader? No way.
What did you take issue with specifically?
All of it. Where it's like the biggest thing was like Todd Monken says, I got to do a better job this. I got to do that. Never hear Zach saying that, you know, and then we talked about it earlier. I mean, we're all religious dudes, but, you know, that really, you know, saying that at that time, you know, I didn't quite understand how that fit in.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really maybe I was too busy tweeting to, you know, take issue with his accountability. I mean, the quote that stuck out to me was he was asked about the pass rush, and he said, we have to be more creative. We have to execute better. So at least there was some ownership there. I think Zach's been pretty steady in telling us, like, who he is throughout the highs and the lows of his Ravens tenure. Like, you know, if you drop him in a 18-0 team or an 0-18 team, I think he'd handle press conferences pretty much the same way. And I'm sure Ravens fans would probably like a guy who's, you know, maybe wearing a little bit more emotions on his sleeves at this point, considering just how bad the defense has been. But I think he's, you know, a pretty resolute guy with some perspective considering where he's been and, you know, what he had to give up. So it didn't rub me the wrong way necessarily as someone who's, you know, has an interest in seeing what this team does. But it was, it didn't really feel too much like a coach who was preparing to make possibly his last press conference in Baltimore, which was a little bit jarring, just the dissonance of his optimism and the overall pessimism around that unit and what could await him in the bye week.
Well, the thing, you know, the other thing he said, you know, like that we need to play with passion. You know, the Ravens got to bring back the passion. You know, I mean, you've never heard that about the Baltimore Ravens, you know, not having passion, but that's what you see. You see that too.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I've never played football, never coached football. So it's hard for me to look with too much judgment at some of these quotes, but like him saying last week that the response that they need for more turnovers is to hit guys harder. That not working at all against the Texans, and then for him to kind of double down on that yesterday, basically saying they need to play with more physicality. It's like, I mean, I guess it makes sense in like the pantheon of college football coach quotes to say that you need to basically double down on your physicality and you need to hit harder, run faster, do all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, at a certain point, it's clear this team needs some help with the smaller detail. It's not where you're hitting a guy when he's carrying the ball. It's like your alignments. It's your communication. It's everything that this team is failing on a small level. So I kind of rolled my eyes at that, but obviously I never played the game, never coached the game, and I do think that there is a certain level of intensity that needs to be ratcheted up. I just don't think it's going to, you know, magically fix their takeaways issue.
Hey, Jonas, how, from your knowledge, because you're out there every day, how much do you think or feel that Harbs and Chuck Pagano are involved in the defense?
I mean, I know they're involved in defense. Like, all you need to do for Harb is to go back and look at the Hard Knocks from last year, where he's sitting in on the meetings. I don't know if he's crafting the game plans, but I think as with a lot of the senior defensive coaches, there is a certain creative collaboration. Like, you know, even as far back as Wink Martindale, when he was DC, Drew Wilkins, I think, was the guy who was designing a lot of those kind of bespoke pressure packages and Sims and Creepers and stuff. So I don't know whether Chuck has taken on more ownership or less ownership, or he's contributing in ways that he wasn't before. But, I don't think Zach Orr is siloed in his approach to these games. I just, it's hard for me to know, what has waxed and what has waned during the course of this losing streak.
Jonas, are we going to see any changes in the offensive line for Sunday?
I don't think so.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, 58-81-057. That was short and sweet. Let's move on with the game itself. 7.5-point dogs are the Ravens. We know the bye is looming, and then the Bears are coming to town, and they're warm and fuzzy with the way Caleb Williams is playing with their new head coach, Ben Johnson, there. Rams are coming off a loss, Jonas. They're on a long week. You know all the particulars of this game. How? Because I don't think they're going to win. The Ravens, that is. I think a lot of people feel the same way. Obviously, the odds makers. How do they pull the stunner? Do you see it happening? And are we looking at 1-5 with changes perhaps at the bye, or 2-4 hoping that Lamar is ready for Chicago?
Yeah, I don't have them winning this. I have the Rams winning pretty handily. I think something like what I picked, 34-17. To me, the easiest path to, or the simplest path to the Ravens having a shot in this one is probably the hardest, which is just taking away Puka Nacua. I mean, like the middle of this Ravens defense has been an absolute black hole for them. Like, I think they've allowed something like 350 plus yards on 85% accuracy on passes between the numbers, 5 to 15 yards downfield. And guess what, guys? That's exactly where Puka Nacua does his best work. I don't think he's 20 for 20 on catches in that sweet spot this year. And you're putting that together with a Ravens run defense that is probably going to get bossed around by the Rams, which is going to make those play action shots even more vulnerable for them. Maybe this is a all-time Kyle Hamilton game where he's able to man him up in man coverage and take away some throwing lanes in zone coverage because we expect him to be moved closer to the line of scrimmage. But again, like, he's one of probably two or three guys who's going to be occupying that middle. And you need Teddy Buchanan locked in. You need Trent Simpson locked in. You need Jake Hummel locked in if he's playing. And I just don't really trust any of those guys to be above average pass defenders at this point. So you put all that together with the fact that this is a really, really good Rams pass rush. And even though Ronnie Stanley should be back, Roger Rosengarten is back to full participation, I just don't think the Ravens are going to get enough push in their run game to really make life easy for themselves on these passing downs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joins us every Friday. Jonas, appreciate the time as always. Have fun counting those Eric Dickerson jerseys at M&T Bank Stadium.
I will not be doing anything outside in the rain. I can see you guys there.
All right, Jonas, always fun to talk to you. We'll come back and whip around what happened in the world of sports last night, whether it was a Thursday night football extravaganza. Man, Eagles, come on. They got bossed around, to borrow a word from Jonas there, that Keith Kavanaugh previews Maryland, Nebraska. Then we'll do our picks. We were all three of us 0-1 after last night's disaster, if you want to look at it that way. And then Ripping It with Ryan coming up at noon. We'll talk about the baseball playoffs. Got some staying alive going on with Detroit and with the Cubs. But for the Phillies, Heartbroken Hotel. Yeah, we're breaking in all these song things. You get it?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.